Hey everybody, and welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips 4 Round 8. I'm your host, Stephen West. So I'm ready to preview another big weekend of NRL action, and I hope everybody enjoyed the festivities over Anzac Day weekend in the rugby league world. And last Thursday, I hope everybody took a moment to pay their respect to all the soldiers that have laid down their lives for both Australia and New Zealand. It was a very special day, some massive rugby league results, and one of them was the Melbourne Storm's giant win over the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Now, the reason I'm opening the show with that, obviously the Storm were 54-20 winners over the Rabbitohs that night, is because right now the Rabbitohs are currently in the middle of their second board meeting of the day to decide the future of the head coaching position of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Of course, Jason Demetriou has been in that job since the beginning of 2022. The Rabbitohs made the prelim that year before leading the competition 13 rounds into 2023, and then of course failing to make the top 8. Now in 2024, they have only won 1 out of their first 7 games. My beloved Rabbitohs, of course, last Thursday night, the Storm, huge winners, as the Rabbitohs conceded 54 points. It's obvious that a change has been needed for quite some time at the Rabbitohs. Now the players and people within the club would have told you that, you know, Jason Demetriou has the full support of everybody in the organisation, including, you know, the coaching staff and all the players, but the results on the footy field has obviously told a different story. And, you know, they're either not playing for Jason Demetriou at the moment, or they're, you know, not playing for the Rabbitohs jersey. Either way, it's not good enough. Obvious change was required. I've talked about it extensively on this show this year, and as I was about to record it, it's currently, what, 7:20 on Tuesday night. NRL 360 just reported it. Frequent guests on the show, Matt Cosgrove and Nicole Tumitreski, just hit me up and let me know that Jason Demetriou has officially been sacked as the South Sydney Rabbitohs coach from that board meeting, as reported by Michael Chemis and I believe several other respected journalists in the NRL. So, obviously, massive change coming at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I'm not sure who's going to step in as interim coach. Hopefully, we get some clarity on that as I continue to record this show. And if we do, I'll speak on it, you know, pretty much immediately. If no one else wants the job, I'll put my hand up. I don't have any NRL coaching experience. I never played NRL at a, you know, professional level. But I do love the game of footy. If no one else wants to coach the Rabbitohs and this basket case of a club at the moment and get them out, I'll do the job. I'll try my best, guys, and, you know, we may win the wooden spoon, but I promise you that I'll make these players play with passion. But obviously, that's not going to happen. The reports are that David Ferner or Ben Hornby are the favourites to take over the club in that head coach role for the rest of 2024 as the interim coach, and I think it's quite clear from majority of people around the situation that the Rabbitohs' main priority will be chasing the services of former Rabbitohs coach Wayne Bennett, the greatest coach of all time, to come back to the club in 2025 and continuing his coaching career. So, regardless, it's going to be a huge couple of days for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They do have Penrith, the, you know, three-time defending champions, the Penrith Panthers, on Thursday night. So, that's only 2 days away. And, obviously, there's going to be a new coach in that head coaching position for the rest of the year, so not much time to prepare for that game. But look, it can't get any worse than the state that the club has been in. It's obvious that something needed to change there, and we'll see if it has an impact on the playing squad for the rest of this season. But whoever does take that job on has a massive task ahead of them to get some dignity there back at the Rabbitohs, and have the Rabbitohs have some pride in their performances and give back to the fans that have followed them all these years. So, massive news coming out of the Rabbitohs. But while we're here, while we're talking about, you know, the happenings in the NRL, let's talk about round 8. And, you know, as I mentioned, 3 big games on Anzac Day. The first game started at 2 p.m. between the Warriors and the Gold Coast Titans. Now, you know, the Titans had been really building to their first win of the season. A couple of big performances the few weeks prior, one against Manly, where they narrowly went down 34-30, and the week before that, it was a 1-point loss to Canberra. You could see the effort was there. The players really wanted to get the monkey off their back, and they finally did that over there at Go Media Stadium in a huge upset. You know, AJ Brimson, a star as always. Fifita was really impressive, and, you know, it was probably Tanner Boyd's best game in first grade to this point. They're still obviously leaking a lot of points, but they're now playing with a belief that they can score points, which is promising for the Titans for the rest of this season. On the opposite side, the Warriors, you know, massive favourites heading to this game. They have seemingly dropped off a cliff the last few weeks. A massive loss to St. George 30-12 the week prior, and 2 weeks before that it was a 22 draw against Manly. They seem to get to these early leads, the Warriors, and they're winning this one 10-0 after about 5 minutes last Thursday. And they clock off, and they don't play for 80 minutes. They, you know, I guess start to believe the hype, and they are a good football team and can't follow through with it. Their forwards usually lay a strong platform, but as the game progresses, they get tired, and I guess the bench isn't really having the impact that you'd like, and defensively, they're really struggling at the moment. So Andrew Webster's got to turn that around, because we know at their best, the Warriors can, you know, mix it with any team in this competition, and they're, you know, a top four chance and even a premiership chance. But, you know, after 8 games, the fact that they're, you know, 3 wins and 4 losses would be extremely disappointing for Andrew Webster and everybody at the Warriors, because coming off the back of 2023, we all know the potential in the club, and they've lost a lot of games narrowly and a lot of games that they should have won because they were leading early. So definitely has to be improvement there at the Warriors camp. But congratulations on the Titans for their first win in 2024. Now, the other two games on Anzac Day, 60-18, the Roosters over the Dragons in that traditional encounter, and 54-20, the Storm over the Rabbitohs. Now, we all know the old stat in rugby league that's been going since 1908. If you concede 50 points in a game, you technically cannot win the premiership. It's never happened. The Rabbitohs were close in 2021, but went down to the Panthers in that grand final 14-12. Stats don't lie. I mean, eventually that stat, I believe, will be broken, but at the moment, if you're conceding 50 or 60 in a point in a game, regardless, you know, of whether that hoodoo exists, you're probably not going to win a grand final anyway. And, you know, honestly, let's be honest, the Dragons and the Rabbitohs probably weren't in contention at this point of the season to win a comp at the back end of the year. But for the Dragons, obviously Moses Sully getting hurt in the first hit up of the game against the raging Jarawir Hargraves didn't help the Dragons early. They had to put Tom Wise and Huffy out into the centres. But, you know, I think they showed some resilience and got a try in the first 10 minutes, and an outstanding try, by the way, that one was. But I think it was Sloan that scored it off that Lomax pass. After that, things just went really wrong. The Roosters were outstanding. Sam Walker probably had the game of his life. He really led the team around well. Luke Keary was a good foil with him. They complemented each other well. Tedesco was outstanding. Joey Manu, when he got into open space, really opened the game up as well. And, you know, the Roosters finally starting to look like they're turning the corner and are playing to their potential, and, you know, showing that they could potentially be the premiership threat that a lot of people thought they could be. And, you know, there's a lot of players leaving this after this year, which we'll get into, one in particular announcing his retirement, one of the greats of the club. But, you know, it's a small premiership window there for the Roosters, so they need to take advantage of that situation. For the Dragons, we've talked about it before, it's about becoming a consistent football team, and Flanagan's still a lot of work there to do at the Dragons. They've had a good start to the year, but that just showed you that Anzac Day performance, considering, you know, the occasion and the big match feel that the game always has, that they're still far away from mixing it up with the best of these teams in the competition, and they're probably a while away from being a top eight team as well, unfortunately. As for the Storm Rabbitohs game, I mean, we talked about the Rabbitohs to open this show, but obviously very disappointing. They were in the fight early. The Storm got to a couple tries, couple of kind of lucky tries of kicks to start the game, but the Rabbitohs fought back and were right in the game through a Dagar try. I believe it was 10-6 at that point, and then the Storm were just relentless after that. The Rabbitohs, same old story, dropping footballs, defensively not committed like they should be as an NRL unit. It was pretty disgraceful, and in my opinion, I don't really know what to say apart from the fact that in my lifetime as a Rabbitohs fan, and, you know, been a fan since the back end of 99, only as a young'un, and then the Rabbitohs got kicked out of the competition, fought back in. I've seen 3 wooden spoons in my life. I've seen a premiership in my life, but I've never seen the club in a worse state, because at least in those wooden spoon sides, they'd always show effort. They'd always compete. Sometimes they were outclassed. A lot of times they were outclassed with some of the superstars of the game, but at the moment, I'm not seeing the pride in the jersey. I'm seeing some players out there still that are trying their asses off, like Cameron Murray, as always, Damien Cook, Jai Gray, the young kid, has added plenty of energy to the back line there at South Sydney, and Jacob Gagai has had a really good start to his NRL career as well, and the limited opportunities he's got, and Jack Wyden's been pretty good, but everybody else, I mean, the forward pack not having any impact, and defensively, the Rabbitohs don't seem up to the task of defending any sort of pressure. So while that's there, whoever becomes the new coach of the club, and we'll probably have an update shortly on that situation, has a massive job ahead of him, and, you know, versus Penrith this week, that game could be anything for South Sydney. The Friday night game, there was a lone game because of those three Anzac Day games. It was merely 32 against Parramatta 18. The Eels were much improved in this encounter, and, you know, they were 20-18 down with not long in the game left, and Sivo went and did something stupid, elbow, sin bin, and they conceded a fair few tries late. Now, you know, Manly playing that enterprising brand of football, really exciting to see, but defensively, I still think they need to be improved in that area. Obviously, Tommy, Cherry Evans, and Luke Brooks all controlling the team around well as I speak also, unless that's been resolved and I'm not aware of it. Cherry Evans also at the judiciary currently to downgrade a start charge on that lifting tackle that we saw last Friday night. But Oluquatu will miss the next two games. Cherry Evans could miss the next three games. So Manly under some pressure the next couple weekends in terms of, you know, showing resilience without some of their stars being there. They've got to get used to Cherry Evans not being there for a while regardless, because Origin season's just around the corner, and Oluquatu could also be in the mix for the New South Wales Blues. So big month coming up for Manly. Parramatta got the bye this week, but unfortunately have lost Clint Gustafson out for a month with that knee injury. There is reports Mitchell Moses could return early, but the Eels have got a tough run coming up. They have to blood some young talent, and it could be get really messy there for Brad Arthur as he hopes to try to save his job and save Parramatta's season. The Saturday game saw the Broncos 34 over the Tigers 10. Brisbane were clinical in this game. Reece Walsh was outstanding at the back until he suffered a bit of a cork, a bit of an injury there. So, likewise to Adam Reynolds, outstanding in his return. Him and Jock Madden played very well together, and Jock Madden is too good to be playing reserve grade in my opinion. Successful return for Payne Huss as well, and they just really bullied the Tigers during this encounter. The Tigers were brave. They you know, tried to hang in defensively, but just too much class and skill there by the Broncos. The second game of Super Saturday was Penrith 26 over the Cowboys 20. Now, I thought the Cowboys had a real dig in this game as well and made it really interesting, and I thought they might, you know, sneak away with a win over Penrith, who were a little bit unlike themselves. They're uncharacteristically, you know, struggling to ice opportunities and leaking some points. But it was a successful return for Cleary. They end up getting the 2 points to end the 2 points to end the game to make it 26-20 and escape Townsville with 2 points. And, you know, if the Tigers, the Cowboys play like that at Townsville every weekend, they'll be hard to beat, and they can potentially make Queensland Country Bank Stadium that fortress you want to see. But yeah, at the moment, obviously a lot of work to do at the Cowboys. Penrith will take the 2 points and move on, which leads us to the Sunday afternoon games. The Knights 18 over the Dolphins 14 at Suncorp Stadium. Bit of a dour affair. I don't think the crowd was really erupted during any of this game, and it was error-riddled. Both teams were really struggling with football in hand. Newcastle, I believe, had all the early football. The first 20 minutes, ruthless by Newcastle, really starved the Dolphins of possession and got out to that early lead. The Dolphins showed some resiliency, fought back, made a game of it in the end, but the Dolphins seemed slow in this game, more like that round one team that we saw went down to the Cowboys. So, you know, some weeks they're up for it. I don't think the squad was really up for it this week, and Newcastle were desperate, and, you know, their forward pack really stood up when they needed to get the 2 points. David Armstrong, the young fullback from out of the country, got his opportunity in first grade, and he was outstanding, so we'll see if he can back that up this week. But big win by Newcastle, much needed win in relation to their season. The Dolphins, a little bit disappointing for me. The final game of Sunday afternoon football, I didn't see a huge amount of this game, but Cronulla 40 over the Raiders 0. Now, the Raiders obviously going through a bit of a rebuilding period with a lot of their young guys getting blooded due to the injuries at the football club. Jamil Fogarty being gone for the majority of the years, not helping them, with Strange and Kale Weeks being you know, the new young halves. But defensively, they've just simply got to be better. Cronulla just really worked their way through the middle of the field. Their forwards were outstanding. Their wingers were outstanding again. Katoa and Molotalo to to make inroads early in the tackle count, and Nico Hines was at his absolute best. Big debut by young Atkinson as well. He played his role very nicely and you know, deservedly scored a try as well. So, yeah, you know, it's... did he score a try? Maybe he set one up. I remember him going over, but maybe it was... Maybe I'm just imagining things. I can't see his name on the try-scoring sheet, but great effort by Atkinson regardless. And, you know, Cronulla, they've had this reputation. They bully the less than great teams. I think their biggest scout to the season is the win over the Warriors, but they're playing really good for long periods of time. So I'm interested to see how they will react when they play one of the big Premiership heavyweights later in the season. But a big game against the Dragons this week in a local derby. See if they can continue the momentum. But that was my recap of round 8. We'll get into my tips for round 9 now. Hopefully have an update on the Jason Demetrio situation. But if you guys haven't, please like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. It's the best way to stay notified for the future updates on the future of the show. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favourite podcast, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts. These episodes come out every Tuesday night. And thank you guys for being a part of the journey so far in 2024. Let's get to all the round nine action now. And it all kicks off with a really intriguing game now that one of these clubs currently don't have a head coach on Thursday night. Before we get to the round previews, I missed a couple of interesting talking points around the rugby league world this week. First and foremost, congratulations on a great career. Luke Keary announced his retirement this week. 3 premierships, one with the Rabbitohs in 2014, and then the back-to-back premierships with the Roosters in 2018 and 2019. Obviously, he may add to that count in 2024, but it's been a great career for a small player that, you know, I think many times in his career has been told that he isn't big enough to be in the NRL, and he has constantly taken on bigger defenders and done a great job doing so. Represented New South Wales, represented his country, I believe represented Ireland as well during the course of his career. And I will best remember Luke Keary, of course, as a part of the 2014 Rabbitohs side that broke the drought. But I think his biggest influence also could be argued that it was in 2019 as a part of that Roosters squad while Cooper Cronk was hurt and he was out there. But Keary really ran the show. And you know, unfortunately, concussion has plagued his career, but it's been a great career nonetheless. So massive congratulations has to go to Luke Keary. Now, in terms of the Rabbitohs coaching situation, I'm hearing that it's 100% either going to be David Ferner or Ben Hornby that takes over that head coaching role for the rest of 2024 as interim coach. Been conflicting reports, so we'll see which way they go, but it looks like it's either going to be Ferner or Hornby taking over. Obviously, we've had the kickoff argument based on Moses Sully's injury in the opening moments in the Dragons, Roosters, Anzac Day clash. Now, I just want to make my opinions very clear here that if you take away the kickoffs from the start of games and after tries getting scored, I believe you're destroying the fabric of rugby league. Now, I know that the NRL has to take safety very important, and I think they've done a great job over the last few years making the game safer, but there has to be some onus on the players, and they've got to take responsibility for smashing into these players to start games. And obviously they're doing that to try to make a statement and get the crowd alive, get their team up for it. There's no doubt that it can have a huge impact, but it can go wrong. And overall, I mean, if you look at the amount of kickoffs to the amount of injuries, it's a very low percentage. So I just think that before the NRL get trigger happy, you want to a game, in my opinion, in 50 years that resembles the original game from 1908 somewhat. And I just think that when you change too much, you turn a lot of people away and you change what their game originally was. And I think they've got to be very careful, the NRL here, because obviously there's going to be cause to make some changes. And Nicole Timotreski, a guest of this show, I mentioned him at the start of the show, he actually mentioned, why don't we kick off from the 40-meter line? Not a bad idea, and I know some people have been calling for that, but I think they should be very reluctant to make any change. At a certain point, players get paid for some of these injury risks. And, you know, you don't want to see anyone get concussion. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But you're not going to see punching banned from boxing. You're not going to see the UFC banned because someone could potentially get a concussion. These players are on a lot of money. And just like, I guess, minors, just like wharfies, they do get risk pay because it is a higher risk that an injury could happen playing the game of rugby league or playing any sport for that matter, any contact sport. So, you know, safety's got to be, you know, utmost importance. But at the end of the day, we're playing rugby league, and I really hope they can just leave the game at least to a point of where how it originally was. I'm resistant to change, and I don't like this change. I'll just leave it at that. I'll also throw the announcement in while I'm talking about just random topics that in 2 weeks we are heading, or I'm heading back to Magic Rant up there at Brisbane. I had a great experience in 2023. A group of the all members that have been on the show basically are heading up there. Aaron Meehan, Matt Colzer, and Nicole Timotreski. We're all going to have a, up there, have a great time. It's going to be a really great weekend. Plenty of beers, plenty of footy. Tickets aren't as, the seats aren't as good as last year that when I went up with my family, but it's going to be a great experience, and I'm hoping to get some of those blokes, some of my mates on the show for a special Magic Round edition of the show in 2 weeks. So, yeah, stay tuned to that. We'll have some announcements a little bit later on in terms of who's going to be on the show and who's excited for it. So, big couple of weeks coming up on Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Let's get to the Round 9 action now. And it kicks off on Thursday night at 7:50 between the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Penrith Panthers. Now, we know one of the assistant coaches at the Rabbitohs is going to be the head coach. We've talked about the Rabbitohs plenty to start this show. A core stadium is the venue there at 7:50 p.m. And, you know, the Rabbitohs, it's a basket case at the moment. Defensively, they're one of the worst clubs I've seen in a significant amount of time, probably since the 2015 Newcastle Knights. It's been atrocious. I believe they've let in about 250 points so far this year. And like, if we're in comparison, Penrith last year when they won the grand final only let in about 320 points in the entire season. So it's obvious that the Rabbitohs have needed a change. They will get a change with the head coaching position. Now, we've seen the teams get named today. Whether there's more changes made by whoever's coach remains to be seen. But at the moment, Jai Gray's still at fullback. Cody Walker and Dean Hawkins still in the halves, and Wyden at centre. Now, there's talk that Wyden could shift into the centre and to the halves with Walker, and Latrell Mitchell could come back in the centre position. It's probably the best case scenario short term for the club. Cam Kalamatangi is still named in the front row. Cook still at hooker, if members Olis off the bench. So the Rabbitohs, they keep shuffling the deck chairs, but obviously at the end of the day, what they need is effort, and what they need is defensive commitment, and they need to just shift their attitudes completely towards defence. There's no point having any sort of flashy stuff if you can't tackle your way to a victory, and the Storm literally humiliated the Rabbitohs last week. It was an embarrassment if you're a Rabbitohs fan like myself, and I feel like the players should feel embarrassed as well. With a new coach coming in, or even if it is the assistant coach, you know, stepping into a head position role, there's got to be accountability, and surely now that there's a change at the top of the club, there's accountability in these players' performances. So we'll see how the players respond to Demetrio not being there this week, but obviously their opponents, the Penrith Panthers, they're the best in the business. They weren't at their best last week against the North Queensland Cowboys up there at Townsville, but it was a successful return to Nathan Cleary. Brian Toe opened up. He was the outstanding Luai. I think looked the best he had looked all year. Their forward pack will be up to the task this week against South Sydney. And unfortunately for the Rabbitohs fans, I don't think the pain ends. I think that the Panthers put the cleaners through the Rabbitohs. Now, if you can't defend against, you know, some of these lower ranked teams, Melbourne humiliated them last week. Penrith could very well do the same this weekend. So you've just got to hope, if you're a Rabbitohs supporter, that the change that they made here tonight at the members meeting and the board meeting has, you know, impacted change at the club, and they're going to be up for this contest in front of a home crowd that, you know, hopefully Rabbitohs fans get out and support them and show that, you know, they've still got some hope, but they've got to produce on the football field, and Penrith, they're just relentless. I think Dylan Edwards has been the best player in the comp this year. Cleary's getting fitter every week. They're going to be very hard to beat. And, you know, as a Rabbitohs fan, it's hard to sit here and talk about it, but I just think that Penrith are going to be way too good for South. They're just so good defensively that they can shift no matter what you throw at them. They can handle that pressure, that relentless pressure, Penrith, and they're a great side with the football in hand. And in both sides of the football, I just don't think South's diverse enough with the football in hand. They're very one-dimensional and one-note with the footy, and you know, lacking a bit of creativity and a bit of spark there, which hopefully Dry Gray can add over the coming weeks. And obviously Latrell Mitchell coming back if he plays in centre next week. He's an obvious target there for South Sydney. But attack, they're struggling at the moment. Defensively, they're not up for the task. So there's no other option than to tip the Penrith Panthers by a lot. And I'll tip Penrith by 30 points on Thursday night. Now, as I said, as a Rabbitohs fan, you hope it doesn't happen. You hope there's some improvement. But how do you bet against this Penrith side nearly any week? They're that good. So Penrith by 30 for me. All right, some more breaking news as we get to the second game preview. I'll talk about that in a moment, but the action starts at 6 p.m. when the Manly Seagulls face the Canberra Raiders from Four Pines Park there at Brookvale. Now, news out of the NRL judiciary is that Daly Cherry Evans has been found not guilty, or at least successful in downgrading the tackle on Sean Lane last weekend. In the Manly Seagulls win over the Parramatta Eels. Now, Cherry Evans will be available to play this week. Oluquatu's taken a 2-game guilty plea. So, Manly heading to this game as heavy favourites. I'm sure that will get lower now that Cherry Evans has been cleared to play. They're looking good, Manly. I thought they were solid enough against Parramatta. Defensively, I'd like to see some improvement, but the free-flowing football they're playing at the moment, just enterprising, shifting the ball early in the tackle count. It's really exciting to see, and the fact that I don't think Tom Trbojevic has really gotten out of first gear yet this season speaks to, I guess, the fact that they've got plenty of improvement left in them as a club. It also speaks to the fact that Tom's just getting through his work. He's not trying to overplay his hands. He's not getting himself in positions where he can get injured as easily, and he's picking his moments, and really, most of the time, he's picking them right. So I think that, as the season grows, Tom will grow in confidence, and Manly will just be better from them with the football in hand. But Cherry Evans, Luke Brooks controlling the team well. I think the forward pack has been outstanding this year. I've been critical of them in the past, but I think Paseka's been really good. Oluquatu's close to the best second row in the competition at the moment. Obviously, he's missing this week, but I even think the impact of guys like Nathan Brown, who's been outstanding, and even Bullymore off the bench, has really given Manly some heavy go forward through to the middle of the field, and it's been really successful in getting those playmakers, those stars of this side, in key positions to score points, and they're doing that well at the moment. So their opponents this week, the Canberra Raiders. Goose egg last week, the first time they've been scoreless in over a decade, Canberra, and Ricky's got a big job to do over the next month. They've got to somehow, I guess, stay in range of the top eight while they're dealing with all these injury problems, especially in the forward pack, and the big ones forward in the halves, half-back spot. So their halves are, inexperienced in Keo Weeks and Ethan Strange. Abbott Hopwhite's come back this week to replace Chevy Stewart at fullback. Schiller's been dropped for the returning Nick Kotrick. And Tazaki, who I thought was pretty good in his limited stints, also out of the 17 with Elliot Whitehead coming back. So they do get a bit of an experience back this week, Canberra. But obviously, the performance last weekend wasn't good enough. These young players will have to learn week by week. And I'm sure, a little bit like the Dragons, some weeks they'll be up for it, some weeks they'll really struggle. This game at Manly, walking into Brookvale, it's going to be a real hostile environment for them. And, unfortunately for Canberra, I just think that, the Fogarty loss is such a death knell to a club that doesn't really have much depth in the half position, like a lot of clubs don't have in the NRL currently. The likes of Horsburgh missing and Hosking's missing and co, that stuff hurts, those real hard-working forwards. But when you're lacking creativity, you need the likes of Fogarty and even Rapana in your side, and at the moment I just don't think they've got much in attack, and defensively they need to be a lot better based on what we saw last week against Cronulla. They fought hard and the effort was still there by Canberra, but they're just getting outclassed at the moment. And if we look at the two sides and compare them, I just think the class with Manly, especially Cherry Evans playing now, they've got a very experienced football side and a very exciting football side. So I expect Tommy and DCE to really feed the likes of Garrick and Saab, and this is another one that could get ugly. I've got Manly in this game by 24 against Canberra to start Friday night footy. So I've got two blowouts to start the weekend, and I think that just speaks to the quality of the teams at the top of the competition, and I guess the disparity against the really great sides that are going to be competing for a premiership and the sides that are really struggling at the moment. I think that this year, more than recent years, the gap between the good teams and the bad teams are massive at the moment. But this game, The second game of Friday night footy is going to be an absolute blockbuster from Suncorp Stadium, the Brisbane Broncos versus the Sydney Roosters. I think that this has all the makings of the match of the round. The Broncos heading to this game with, you know, their full contingents of stars pretty much back. They get Ezra Mim and Cobbo back this week. Add that to the fact they got Reynolds and Huss back last week, and Reece Walsh will still be fit to take his place. They're almost back to the level that they were in the grand final last year in terms of having a fit football side on the field. Great to see Pecora get some football in his legs last week as well. The young forward pack in the Brisbane Broncos have done a great job in those players' absence, as has Jock Madden, you know, the experienced half that you know, can come in and do a job. So, you know, depth-wise, I think Brisbane are in a really good place. And, you know, if you have depth, then you can go a long way in this competition. And I think near the end of the year, they'll definitely be their bells on and they could be competing for a premiership. I've been impressed by what I've seen by Brisbane, and they were just relentless against the Tigers side that really fought hard last week but were totally outclassed by the Broncos. And their opponents in this week, the Roosters, coming off a massive win as well. A huge win against the Dragons that, you know, could really turn the fortunes of the whole Roosters season. The momentum they would have took from that game could really spark a second half of the season push to the top four here for the Roosters. I think Sam Walker had his most complete game in first grade last week. He was everywhere, outstanding. Keary, having that announcement of being retiring at the end of the season off his chest, I think will help his game tremendously. Their forward pack was really good last week, especially those front rows in Hargraves and Collins, with, you know, May coming off the bench to add a bit of a punch, and Spencer Lenu coming back from that racism incident in Vegas. He's back, you know, in 2 weeks, or maybe even next week. I think it might be next week. So, yeah, there's plenty to like about the Roosters' forward pack. Their playmakers are finding plenty of time with the football at the moment and, you know, have been electric. And, you know, that's not even mentioning the likes of Manu and Dominic Young and Daniel Tupou. They can really stamp their imprints on the game as well. They're absolute superstars on the edges. So they've got all the makings of having a late season push here, the Roosters. But, you know, I think the forward pack battle on both sides is really going to be the difference in this one. Both forward packs will be up for it. I mean, it's mouth-watering thinking about Huss and Carrigan going up the likes against Hargraves and Radley and Collins. It's going to be a big battle up front. And at the moment, if I look at both their sides, not much is separating them. I mean, the halves both really got really experienced heads in Reynolds and Keary, along with the young, exciting playmaker in Mam and Walker. You've got two informed fullbacks, the incumbent State of Origin fullbacks, going against each other in Walsh and Tedesco, and some exciting players in the outside back. So I think this is going to be an absolute blockbuster. I think it's an absolute toss of the coin job at the moment, the winner of this game. And I think the winner of this game takes a massive win heading into the Origin period, because both of these sides, they're going to be missing a lot of players due to representative honours. I think this game's super important. And the only reason I'm leaning towards Brisbane is the Suncorp Stadium factor. They are almost a different team up there at Suncorp. And to go up at Suncorp and beat a Brisbane Broncos side that is in this sort of form, it takes a monster effort. And, you know, how up the Roosters were and how emotional the occasion on Anzac Day was last week for this Roosters club. To back that up the very next week, it's going to be a tougher ask. Now, Brisbane's got a little bit of a, you know, a smaller turnaround, but I think they'll be up for it. I think they'll be ready, and I think the Broncos have a little bit more of a point to prove here as well, that, you know, the start of the year hasn't been, you know, perfect for them, and it hasn't gone their way considering all the injury dramas, but when they're fully fit, they can beat anyone in this competition. So I think the Broncos step up here. I think it's a blockbuster game, but I've got Brisbane winning by 6 points, and I think the likes of Reynolds and Walsh, when needed, will come up with those big moments. And I think Huss is really going to make it his mission to go after Hargraves, who was almost unstoppable last week. So I can't wait for Friday night. I just give the edge to the Broncos up there at Suncorp, which, you know, is a hostile environment for any Sydney team, but especially a team like the Roosters, who are on the up and a potential premiership contender. I think that it'll be a sold-out game up there on Friday night. Great time for footy, and I think Brisbane will be up for the task. Super Saturday, my favourite time of the week. It kicks off this weekend from 3 p.m. at Accor Stadium when the Canterbury Bulldogs face the West Tigers. The Bulldogs coming off the bye, the fact that they sit You know, within range of the top eight, is an absolute credit to them at the moment. They've got 3 wins and 4 losses to their name this year. But the improvement I've seen from the squad this year defensively, they've really been up to the contest for pretty much every weekend. And the attack is now starting to fire as well. In the last few games before the bye, they managed to score several tries through hard work, and 36 points against the Knights. 14 points against the Storm is pretty impressive, considering that was a tight contest, and 30 against the Roosters. They want to keep that momentum heading into this game against the Tigers, because it is a winnable game for them at Coors Stadium. If they can go 4-4 to start their year, it's massive for, you know, the belief that Serrato has managed to instill in his players, and it really shows you the improvement that the club has, you know, seen since they've really, I guess, revamped the place. And you look at their squad from 3 years ago, no one's currently there, and, you know, they've got hard works in the club, perhaps not, you know, specialist in their position. Like, I still don't think Burden's necessarily a 5'8". I still don't think Drew Hutchinson's a halfback, but they're making it work at the moment. They're making the likes of Semin and Mann, when they play their roles in the side, they're making effective use of those guys and the smaller forward pack that they have. So just shows you, you know, that the players are buying in there to Serrato's message at the moment. Kikau's been outstanding. We'll see what he produces this weekend. And their opponents, the Tigers, also a side that, you know, up and down, and, you know, are really at the beginning of, I guess, their rebuild under Benji Marshall, the new coach. They've managed to get 2 wins this year, but, you know, some weeks they'll be up for the contest, some weeks they won't be. Now, a couple of weeks ago against the Dragons, I thought they were really poor. I fought in the 34-10 loss, obviously got away from them late, but I thought the Tigers were pretty good in this game. They competed hard and, you know, were outclassed, but I thought the effort was there. So I'll be interested to see how they back it up this week against the Bulldogs, because I think this is a massive game for both clubs. Lachie Giavin, I think, adds so much to the Tigers' attack, but I really want to see Buller try to get involved in the play more. They obviously need a fit Appy Courasey if they're going to have a chance to win this game, considering he only lasted 56 minutes and went off with a back complaint last week against the Broncos. He's been named, so hopefully he can take the field. But, you know, there's exciting young players from both sides in this fixture. I think that the Tigers have a job on their hands, the veteran Tigers forward pack, to really get up in some of these younger Bulldogs, you know, forwards' faces, and, you know, even the likes of Semin and Mann, who aren't traditional forwards. I think that the Tigers may be able to bully them up the middle of the field. But if we look at a team that I'm more confident can score points at the moment, it surprisingly is the Bulldogs. The Tigers have struggled within the opposition 20, and the Bulldogs have too, but I think the Bulldogs have been managed to get it together more recently. And yeah, I think that they're a good thing heading into this game, the Bulldogs. And I think that the win will be purely off effort. It really, when you look at it, it is a bit of a toss of the coin job. I think the Tigers are well and truly up for it. But for them to win this game, I think Courasey has got to be at his destructive best. And I think Giavin's got to get some more open space. So I got the Bulldogs by 10 points. An interesting game to start Super Saturday. If you asked me 6 months ago if I wanted to watch this game ever, I'd say absolutely not. But the Bulldogs versus Tigers, plenty of, you know, exciting young talent and plenty of effort getting shown by these sides currently in 2024. So we'll see what Saturday afternoon brings. Super Saturday continues at 5:30 from Cbus Super Stadium, where the Gold Coast Titans are back at home against the Melbourne Storm. Of course, the Titans got their first win over in New Zealand last Thursday on the exact day. A huge upset over the Warriors, 27-24 winners. AJ Brimson was the outstanding. Fifita was the outstanding off the bench. I still think they've got a long way to go under Des Hasler to get to the team he wants them to get defensively. Still very vulnerable at stages, and they really clocked off late in that game against the Warriors, and the Warriors made a game of it. But hard to fault the fact that they finally got a win on the board. I think Des Hasler still made a few changes to the outside backs this week. Don't think he was particularly impressed in Carm Pereira's defence, but he has stuck solid with Boyd at 4 in the halves once again. Boyd had his best game, I think, to date in the NRL last week. We'll see if he can back that up this week. It's going to be a much tougher ask, though, because their opponents, obviously the Melbourne Storm, were destructive and dominated and embarrassed the South Sydney Rabbitohs last Thursday night on Anzac Day. This is the time of the year where they really usually flex their muscles, the Storm, and it is Cameron Munster's 200th in this one. I think they're going to be up for it. The fact that I don't think the halves have really combined all that well yet, and Hughes and Munster, and and Powerhouse and Green. I don't think they've been the full package, even though they've all had individual moments of brilliance. Should be scary for every other team in the competition, and I think their forward pack is much improved since Law has been starting that second row position with Katoa. I think Nelson Asofa Solomona coming off the bench has added a lot of punch to this forward pack. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from the Storm. I think they are a premiership threat. And, you know, as I said, the Titans, another one of these sides that the last few weeks, plenty of heart being shown. I just think the Storm will completely outclass them in this game. This is, I think, it's going to be an example of what I was saying, and that's the good teams, the really good teams in this competition, are so far ahead of the rest of the pack. And unfortunately for the Titans, it hasn't gone their way in 2024, and I think this is going to be another tough afternoon out for them. Not much else to say. I think Cameron Munster dominating his 200th. Pat Hiasen's going to be extremely dangerous as well, and I think the Storm will be too good, unfortunately, for the Titans. I've got the Storm by 30 points against the Titans at Cbus. Super Saturday ends with a Queensland derby between the North Queensland Cowboys and the Dolphins at 7:35 from Queensland Country Bank Stadium. I thought the Cowboys were much improved last weekend in their tight loss to the Penrith Panthers 26-20. They were in position to win that game, couldn't ice it, but I think there was a very big improvement in terms of effort and in terms of their ability to really shift the ball and score some points. Defensive issues still remain, and I think it's only a matter of time before Jake Clifford gets an opportunity with Tom Dearden in the Haas. Chad Townsend's on the out of this year anyway. I think they may as well start the plan for the future of the Cowboys, but 2024 is not a write-off yet. They had a really impressive start to the year, but I think they now find themselves with 4 wins and 4 losses. And yeah, they're another fair-weather football side. You never know what you're going to get from them quite, and you know, obviously their success that mostly relies on the attacking brilliance of Tom Dearden and Drinkwater, who really control the team. But I thought their forward pack in particular was much improved last week against Penrith, and they're going to have to be at their best this week because they're versing a Dolphins side that played horrible last week against Newcastle. They really looked like a slow, aged football side, which they are to a certain extent. But they didn't really have the electricness from anyone other than Trey Fuller last week. So you want to see, you know, Katoa and Nikarima get some more quality ball. Marshall King be scheming out a dummy half this week. But, you know, obviously their strength and their weakness, it really, you know, comes down to experience. And they've got the experienced forward packs to, you know, take care of some of these young players and teach them a lesson. But, you know, when the speed's too quick for them, the Dolphins can really struggle and teams can make them pay. And defensively, they're not always up for the challenge. So I think this game has all the makings of plenty of points getting scored. I don't think either team's particularly known for their ability to sustain pressure for long periods of time. And unfortunately for the Dolphins, they're still missing a few. Obviously, no Flegler, Farnsworth, the Hammer. It all hurts them. Obviously, Gilbert out for the season as well. They're all X factors and different makers for this Dolphins side. I don't think they're showing enough. They're not showing enough variety in attack to compete in a try-scoring fest. They'll score some points, but to go try to try with the Cowboys, it can be so exciting with the football, it could be a real challenge. So for me, the only way the Dolphins can win this game of football is to really be relentless defensively and get up in the Cowboys' faces, not give them much time with the football in hand to make those decisions, because if they haven't given plenty of time, then, you know, the likes of Dearden and Drinkwater are just going to kill you. Even Robson in a dummy half, Holmes on the edge. They've got plenty of points in them, the Cowboys. So if this gets to a try-fest like I think it's going to, I just think the Cowboys have got too much strike with the football in hand. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I've got the Cowboys in this one by 12 points. I think Drinkwater's going to have a night out. So will Valentine Holmes in this one on Saturday night. Sunday afternoon kicks off at 2 p.m. when the Newcastle Knights are hosting the New Zealand Warriors from McDonald Jones Stadium. Newcastle much needed a win last week. I think they did it all in the back of their forward pack. Some really hard work by, you know, Saifidi and Kai Pierce-Paul, Adam Elliott, those types, to get them an opportunity to score points. David Armstrong, absolutely outstanding debut for him at the back. The young country boy was outstanding with his carries back. Found some open opportunity and could be a potential X factor for the Knights moving forward without Kalyn Ponga for the majority of the rest of the season. But I still think you need to find a place for Cogger. Him and, you know, Gamble and Hastings, I don't think have been setting the world on fire in terms of setting up opportunities. I think they need to be more confident, take on the line a little bit more and diversify their attack a little bit. Jaden Brayley, I think, has been much improved since his return to the ACL injury. He's getting more confident each and every week and really straightening this football side up. But it's going to be another tough game for him about Ponga this week. Their opponents, the New Zealand Warriors, were embarrassed by the Titans last week after heading that game heavy favourites. They seem to get in a pattern where they get to an early lead. Their big forwards, Infanua, Blake and Barnett, who have both been outstanding this year, they leave the field and they struggle to continue that momentum through the middle with their young forwards. Johnson has had a great attacking kicking game, but I just don't think that the likes of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Montoya and Dallin Martinez-Lesniak can get enough quality ball out there. So they need to find a way to, I guess, revolutionise their attack a little bit and not just be all formations and set plays. They need to spark the attack, and I think the man to do that is definitely Charles Nicol-Hodgson, who's been outstanding since injury return. But there's something wrong there, I guess, attitude problem defensively as well for the Warriors, and you'd hope this is a wake-up call, and Andrew Webster really get them up for this game against the Knights this week, because it's a really important game in the context of their season. They're, what, 1-3 games. You don't want to be to a point where the top eight's starting to get away from you at this middle portion of the season. Origin season coming up will help them, because a lot of clubs will be missing, you know, some of their stars, but it's a big week for a response for the Warriors, and, you know, the Knights will try to work hard and win the game through the middle of the field like they did last week. So the Warriors are going to be able to match that, but if they can, I think they'll have too much points for the Knights to contain. I think Johnson and Chandler-Clodstad are absolutely the key components here for the Warriors, and I think they're at their best. The Newcastle can't outscore the Knights, you know, these two teams. If, you know, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m., I think the humidity could be a factor. And I think we see plenty of points, and the Warriors just have more upside and attack than Newcastle at the moment. So the Warriors by 16 in this one. And the final game of the round takes place at PointsBet Stadium, Sunday, 4:05 p.m. It's Cronulla Sharks versus the St. George Illawarra Dragons. It is the local derby between these two clubs. The Sharks, they've been relentless against teams lower in the ladder than them for several years. They've really been bullying teams as of late, and the difference between this year and previous years for them is the fact that they've been able to go on with it and to play football for 80 minutes, which is really promising to see for them. I think Nico Hines controlling the game really well. Kennedy's been outstanding at the back, and their wingers, Renato Mulitalo and Katoa, have really been helping out less than experienced Cronulla forward pack that's been led brilliantly up the front by Cameron McInnes, who is on the verge of a potential Origin call-up. So it's just been great to watch the Sharks the last few weeks, and I guess see that improvement that Fitzgibbon's been able to, you know, really keep the boys focused when they get to a big lead early in games. It's promising there from the Sharks. The Dragons, week in, week out proposition. They weren't helped by the injuries early in that game against the Roosters on Anzac Day. Shane Flanagan called out the Sharks in the press conference. I expect this one to have a bit of fireworks to start the game, but if we're just comparing the two sides on paper, I mean, Lomax and Ben Hunt, they've been outstanding for the Dragons, but I don't know if their forward pack's up to challenge this Sharks forward pack, and I don't know if they've got enough points to go with the Sharks here, because the Sharks, it seems to be coming easy for them at the moment. They can't be complacent, they can't take the Dragons lightly, but yeah, I just don't know if the Dragons, they'll be up for it early because it is that local derby and because Shane Flanagan really want to prove a point to his former club. But yeah, I just don't know if they can go with the Sharks. I think the Sharks' momentum at the moment is crazy, and I can't wait for them to get a challenge by a premiership heavyweight. But unfortunately, I think that it's going to be similar to last week against the Canberra Raiders, maybe not that one-sided, but I think the Sharks have all the momentum here, and the Dragons, all the goodwill they got early in the season might have evaporated with that 42-point loss to the Raiders last Thursday afternoon. So I've got the Sharks this game by 28 points against the Dragons. I think there's going to be some massive blowouts this week, which takes me to my recap for the entire round. I think I've gone all the favourites this week. Guys, I've got the Panthers being way too strong for the Rabbitohs on Thursday night. Manly, with Cherry Evans being free to play, beating Canberra. The Broncos winning a tight one against the Sydney Roosters at Suncorp. Super Saturday, the Bulldogs continuing their impressive early season form for win over the Tigers. The Storm celebrating Munster's 200th in style against the Titans. And the Cowboys bouncing back against the Dolphins. Sunday afternoon football, the Warriors make a statement after being embarrassed last week against the Titans for a big win over the Knights, and the Sharks continue their dominance on top of the ladder with a big win over the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Those are my tips for round 9 of the NRL Telstra Premiership. I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast this week. Magic Round's in 2 weeks. I can't wait for it. Hope you enjoy your footy this week, and I'll see you guys next week for another big edition of Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Enjoy your footy this weekend, guys.